So, Yvonne, as we settle into those months that are all important, why do you think gardening is so important this time of the year more so than anything else? Because I was reading an article about autumn, as autumn arrives, it's the best time to get everything into the ground as well as tidy up everything that's already around the garden that's annoying you anyway. So there's lots to be done, isn't there?
Yeah, there is lots to be done. I mean, aside from the hedges, which you can get cutting now anyway, if you assess areas, for example, if you have trees in your garden and during that lovely sunny spell, you didn't get sun on your patio because your trees were gone so big. Now is the time to be looking at those trees with a view to pruning them over the winter time so that you will have sunlight on that area the following year. As I say, if you can get any weeding done at this time of the year, that's fantastic because it stops the weeds going to seed. Therefore, you're not into this fine crop of weeds beating you to spring and they're up before everything else is in the springtime. And also, of course, the autumn time, the ground is still warm. And this is awfully important from a planting point of view. So the ground stays warm up to the end of November and really into December. And that's the best time. November, December is then the best time for planting trees and hedges and all this kind of bare-rooted planting because the trees are getting a chance to make roots out into the warm ground before there's any water demand on them of new leaves coming on in the springtime. So you're making a good, healthy plant which is ready to take all the rigours of the following spring when you get huge demand on it to be putting water up through its trunk. You know, so if you can plant early while the ground is warm, plants will get a chance to root out. And this is, again, very, very important. Now, of course, you can plant bare rooted plants right up to the beginning of March. But I would always recommend planting them earlier in the dormant season than leaving it go too late. You get a much better result on plants. Also, you get a better choice of plants because you've got the whole range of plants out there available. The bare-rooted ones are out there available through and, you know, people will start buying them up and nurseries are selling them from November on and you're kind of getting the end of the crop if you're into March. And the other thing is then, of course, in the autumn time, now is the time to be getting bulbs into the ground for the spring. There's so many things out there to be done, John. It's just a matter of sitting down and seeing which are your priorities and getting them done. And the ground is still very dry and workable, so it's easy to get out there and do a bit of weeding and get your bulbs sorted. And you're not, you know, stuck with 6 inches of muck on the bottom of your boot and you're freezing cold. It's pleasant to be out working in that.
Okay, and we touched on it last week, actually. One of the great flowers to sow is sweet pea, and that kind of leads to a question that was coming in. Is there any other suggestions along the same lines as sweet peas that you would recommend? We are going to put sweet peas, says Margaret, into the garden. We are going to sow over the next few weeks or so, but what runs really well with it?
Well, sweet pea, remember, is an annual. So you're sowing the seeds now for plants which you will maybe plant out in the spring. You're probably not sowing them directly into the garden now. You're probably putting them into pots and growing little pots on and then you'll plant them out in the spring. It depends where you're putting them. I mean, you know, if you're thinking of stuff for next summer flowering, you can look at perennial plants, you know, all your different perennials that are out there that will come up every year, the likes of your asters that would be in flower now and your sedums, the helichrysums, helianthemums. There's loads and loads of perennial herbaceous plants that you can put in that will give you flowering next year. But really, probably what you should sit down is, you know, say your sweet pea are in flower from June, July, right through to September, October, if you keep them deadheaded. So do you want to put in an earlier climber with them, say an early clematis, a clematis montana or montana rubens, which flowers really early in the spring, or a winter jasmine or something like that. So now you're going to have colour from winter through to spring, right through to summer on that particular section where you're growing the sweet pea. And then look at other sections of your garden and say, well, right, That little area always looks lovely in summer, but it looks awful in January, February. And see, does it suit maybe putting in bulbs or some winter flowering plants that would give you a bit of colour there in the duller months when you don't have colour in those areas. So really it's time to sit down also and plan these areas and then get your plants organised for them.
Okay. Now, speaking of stuff to do around this time of year as well, Paul wants to know, he says he's a regular person and very much believes in fertilising. Autumn is a great time to fertilise, he does believe, but what type of stuff do we use to fertilise the lawn and other areas?
Yeah, well, if you're using a fertiliser on the lawn at this time of the year, be careful and do use an autumn lawn feed because it will be low in nitrogen. And that's awfully important because you do not want very soft growth on your grass through the winter. It can get diseased and it can be very tatty then in the springtime. So you're going for an autumn dressing on the lawn. I mean, at this time of the year also, you've built up a lot of compost, or you should have, in your compost heap. And perhaps it's time to be taking some of that out and dressing over beds with that to mulch them over for the winter and seal in nutrients and get the nutrients to wash down into the ground. Late autumn time is a good time to be putting over a dressing of compost or a mulch that will wash down into the ground and give you fertiliser then in the springtime. But generally speaking, you would be fertilising really in the spring. You can dress over your ground, as I say, but I wouldn't be putting on high nitrogenous feeds at this time of the year. You're trying to harden off growth. You're going for the potash and the phosphates at this time of the year. So really you're pulling back on your fertilizer to give you leafy growth, and really you're concentrating maybe on using your compost on the ground to build up beds and this kind of thing, because plants get quite exhausted through the summer. But you don't want to be putting on a load of fertilizer that's not going to be taken up in the winter and then get leached out with the weather, so you're back to square one again in the spring. Rather put it on in the spring.
Okay, Martin O'Reilly's on, he's listening to us in the Kilcock area. Hello to you, Martin, thanks for that. He says, what type of green vegetables should I be planting in the autumn? We love broccoli in our house, we love cabbage, but we also like to add a little bit of cress and stuff like that. Any suggestions?
Yeah, well, I mean, you can probably still grow a bit of cress on your window ledge, but you'd want cress inside. You know, the days are getting shorter and the temperatures are dropping, so the plants won't grow as fast, you know, or as well. You know, you have your broccoli in, that's grand. You have, you know, kale and stuff like that if you had plants in. There might be a few plants of these knocking around still, but it's very, very late. So there aren't really, you know, you can put in your winter cabbages. If you can get some plants of these, the later ones, get some in now. But there's not a lot on the leafy green vegetables. If you don't have them in already, there's not a lot you can put in at this time of the year. You'd rather be putting in your garlic and maybe onions to overwinter them and get them, you know, in early for the spring crops and that sort of thing. So, you know, there's not a lot of green vegetables that you would be putting in over the winter. You'd still get a bit of lettuce to grow if you've got a bit of protection.
OK, right. Off to a different subject completely. This is to do with laurel hedges. And Yvonne, here's a question for you. It says, I have a 2-year-old laurel hedge that needs trimming. Isn't now a good time to do so? How would you go about doing it as well, Yvonne? And it's from Dee. Hello, Dee. Thank you for that.
Yes, Dee, you can trim now, certainly. I would trim in the sides very well. I'm a great believer in going hard on the side of hedges that will recover from hard pruning, and laurel would be one of those. Now, this is a 2-year-old hedge, so you won't have that much growth. But sometimes people are less inclined to clip a young hedge because they're saying, ah, God, if I cut off all that growth, then I'm back to square one again, you know, and I'm trying to get it to fill out. But if you can trim in the sides very well, you'll have a far more successful hedge. You'll get side shoots growing from behind where you've trimmed. So you'll get double shooting coming. So this will thicken in your hedge and give you a very solid hedge. So I would say trim in the sides, and no mercy on trimming them in at this time of the year. You're not going to get frost damage or anything at this time of the year. So I would trim them in well at this time of the year. And if they look a bit bare, don't worry about it. You know, it'll look bare for a while, but so be it. You can do it now, Or if you want to leave that green growth over the winter, you can leave it till the beginning of March, till just before the hedge ban starts, and you can get it cut then, when it'll fill in a lot quicker, you know, and you won't be looking at the bare. But now is a very good time to do it.
Okay, and onward bounds we go. This is one is to do from Tom. First Artie Vaughan, what's naturalised snowdrops?
Naturalised snowdrops.
So the question is, Tom is wondering when is a good time to plant naturalised snowdrops and daffs in his lawn area.
Ah, he wants to naturalise them in his lawn.
Okay.
Look, you'll be buying bulbs at this time of the year. They're available in the garden centres now. Now is the time to go buying them. Now, be careful where you're planting them if it's in the lawn. Snowdrops flower very, very early. So they've died down probably before you're mowing your lawn, which is okay. You know, or you can mow your lawn high and the leaf growth on the snowdrops is quite low. They'll have finished flowering and the leaves will be very low to the ground, so you won't be cutting them off, because you can't go cutting off the leaves of bulb, you know, like snowdrops and daffs and these kind of things before they've died back. Otherwise, you just deplete the energy of the bulb and they won't flower well in the following years. With daffodils, daffodils are much taller and they die down much later than snowdrops, well after the time that you'd want to be mowing your lawn.
Yeah.
So I would suggest you put the daffodils somewhere where you don't intend to mow the lawn. Now, if he's going for a naturalised area with maybe snowdrops and daffodils and bluebells, and he's going for a woodlandy look in that area, maybe it's an area he's not going to cut at all. He's just going to leave it as a sort of a grassland meadow with bulbs in it, and that's fine. But do remember that some of the smaller bulbs, like snowdrops and your bluebells maybe for later on, they won't do so well if they're covered with sort of 2 foot high of grass. You won't see them and they won't do so well. They really need a shady area to do well in, the bluebells in particular. So just be aware of where you're planting and what the after effect is. You know, when the bulbs have died down and you're looking at this tatty leafy growth that's going to be left behind and that you kind of have to leave behind for the life of the bulbs and for the success of the bulbs. So give it a bit of thought before you put them in. But now is the time to be planting.
OK, well done. Good detailed answer that, and more stuff coming through as well. Let's have a quick look at this one. Yvonne, what's the best time to move shrubs?
A little bit later on. Generally speaking, shrubs will have gone asleep by the end of October. And you can, you know, and if it's a big shrub you have to move, that it's just in the wrong place, it's grown 6 foot tall and you only wanted it to be 2 foot tall and you didn't realise it was going to grow to that size, check out the species of the shrub, make sure it's prunable and how you prune it, and then prune it back fairly hard before you move it, and move it to a place where it can grow to its full potential and it'll be grand. But leave it until they've gone asleep. So once most of the leaves have fallen off shrubs, they're gone asleep and you can safely move.
Okay, well done. Now, here's another one. It's just gone back to the sweet pea, a follow-on question from Brona. Nice to hear from you, Brona. Could you just go back over the harvesting of the sweet pea pods and when to plant those seeds indoors and then when to plant them back outdoors?
Ah, okay, Brona. Yeah. Well, I'm still deadheading my sweet pea at the moment. I have not allowed the seed pods to form, because once the seed pods form, then that's the end of your flowering for the year. So I'm deadheading maybe once, twice a week at times at the moment, because there's a lot of sweet pea out there still. And it was a particularly good year for sweet pea. So when my flowering drops back, I will save the last 40, 50, maybe 100 pods, 50 pods, say, and I'll have lots of seed in those pods. I will then bring those pods inside and let them dry until they're crisp, and then they will pop open and you'll have your little black seeds inside. So now you're into maybe October, the middle of October or so. So now you have your sweet pea seeds that are perfectly dried, and sort of middle to the end of October, you can plant those sweet pea seeds then into pots, and these plants will grow slowly over the winter time, and you'll have nice little plants around end of February, March. You'll have some growth before the Christmas time, but you'll have a good bit of growth then. And remember, they have to be the tips have to be nipped off the growths as they grow to make them into bushy plants. And then by sort of March time, you should have good bushy plants that are ready for planting out. Now, you can grow these inside. They'll do inside or outside, but if you have them inside, that's fantastic in the glasses. Do remember that when you grow the seed from sweet pea you've saved, generally speaking, the flowers on the plants that grow will come through as blue sweet pea, generally speaking. 90% of them will be blue. They'll revert to the original sweet pea colour rather than having all your pinks and reds and wines and whites and everything else. So you'll have a lot of blue sweet pea. So if you are buying extra sweet pea, I would recommend that you don't buy blue sweet pea. You go for red or pink or white or other colours so that you can mix it in through the blue that you've grown yourself.
Okay, brilliant stuff indeed. Right, here's a three-parter for you. It's all to do with, first of all, how long does it take to grow a hedge? When is the best time to plant one? And what is the quickest type of hedge to grow? It doesn't give the reasons for these, but they're just three little questions that came in from an unnamed caller. So we'll start with the first one. How long does it take to grow a hedge?
Well, that's the last question, really. Okay. John, we have to go back on which is the best one to grow would be the first. And before you decide on which is the best one to grow, you're going to have to ask yourself, what height do you want this hedge to be at its final size? What height do you want it to be manageable at? Generally speaking, it's around 6 foot. You don't want it to grow much higher, 6 to 7 foot, because over that, hedges are difficult to manage. You've got to get the ladder out and the planks out and the barrels out and get up on them and try and get the hedge cut, whereas 6 to 7 foot is manageable from the ground. So that's the first consideration. And then you've got to ask yourself, how much space have you got to grow this hedge width-wise? Because some hedges are, you know, more vigorous growing than others. Then the third question is, do you want it to be evergreen, or do you want a hedge that will lose its leaves in winter and, you know, have the seasons, a nice colour through the seasons? Do you want a flowering hedge? That's another question.
Yep.
So lots of questions to ask yourself with regard to the variety of the hedge. What I would say, avoid conifers, because, and that's like your Leyland and these ones, because they might grow very fast and give you very quick screening. They're impossible to manage when they get mature. So avoid the conifers and go back. Now, your evergreen hedge, you know, one of the common ones at the moment is laurel. Laurel is very hardy. It grows very fast. It's evergreen. It's very manageable. That's a good variety to choose if you want an evergreen hedge. It does tend to get a bit wide, so it's difficult enough to manage in a tight space. Other evergreen hedge, privet. Avoid grisalinia. It's too susceptible to frost. Escalonia, which has flowers on it, that's evergreen. Fabulous hedge if you're in a very frosty area too. Mm. Can be get a little bit of damage. And then for the deciduous hedges, you're talking about native hedges like whitethorn, blackthorn, field maple, the hornbeam, yeah, and of course our lovely beech, which is not a native tree but it's a naturalised tree. So beech is a fantastic hedge. Even though it loses its leaves in winter, it holds them brown, so you have your screening through the winter. Now, you can plant most of these hedges at anything between 30 centimetres high, you'll get plants up to 1.20 metres. And that's all, your budget is going to decide on how big you can put these in at. So decide on the length of your hedge. You're going to be planting 4 hedging plants to the linear metre, and you're going to have to decide on your budget. Have a look at the different varieties that are out there. Look them up on the internet and see a mature hedge of beech, a mature hedge of Escalonia. Cotoneaster lactea is another fantastic hedge, and it's evergreen and it has white flowers in springtime and berries through the winter. Holly is another lovely, yeah, hedge. So there's loads out there. So there's no point in saying I, yeah, would advise one or the other. I don't know what size your garden is. I don't know what your budget is. I don't know whether you want evergreen or flowering, what you want. And I don't know if you, yeah, small children that you want to avoid thorns. So lots, yeah, of questions to ask yourself.
And the other thing is, you could nearly do a whole topic on that based on that answer, Yvonne.
No, I'm serious.
Point is you didn't waffle on, because there's such diverse answers to the actual question and the need for those particular types of hedges. But there's an awful lot of people out there who are living in one-off houses and in houses and estates and everything like that, who probably love the idea of growing hedges but just don't know which ones to go for and where to start.
And I mean, there's you know, the general, one of the fashionable hedges at the moment is Photinia Red Robin, which to me is a very difficult hedge to get right, because it goes very leggy at the base, and it has, it needs extraordinary amount of feeding and pruning to get it to thicken up. So there's lots of considerations out there. And if somebody wants to ring me about it, I'll certainly give them advice. So feel free to phone.
Okay.
But, you know, but there are lots of questions you should ask before you say, when should I plant the hedge and what should I buy?
Rightio.
Ask yourself lots of questions before you decide.
Okay, onward bound. We've got two quick questions. One, after 35 years, my ivy on the side of my house has completely died. Rest is okay, in brackets it says here. Any reason, do you know why it died anyway after 35 years? Is it just one of those things that happens?
No, it sounds as though something happened to it. I don't know. Have ground conditions changed at the base? Did somebody get a little saw to the base of it and just cut through it? There could be a couple of reasons for it. I don't know. Usually, you know, there are a couple of fungal diseases that can attack ivy, and it could have died back because of that.
Yeah.
But really, I'd need to see a picture of it and see, are the leaves hanging on and gone all dark, maybe blackish rather than brown?
Yeah,
and,
that's what we'll do, Yvonne. We'll ask that person to send us a photograph of it, and we'll get it answered next week.
And a photograph of the base as well as the ivy
itself,
dead on the wall
that
itself.
That might answer it a little bit better. Right, and one quick one for you. Can you advise how to get rid of nightshade? A large plant grew in one of my pots. I cut it back and cut it down. Just wonder, should I get rid of the soil it was growing in as well? Siobhan.
It depends on what nightshade it is. There's a couple of different nightshades. Look, if you don't want it, just take it out and get rid of it.
Okay.
Straightforward. I'm not sure which nightshade she means.
Okay, we might look at that one in detail next week, Siobhan. If you want to retext it in, we'll give it more time and we'll have a chat more. Maybe you can just tell us a little bit more about that. Totally out of time, way over time. Yvonne, brilliant as always. People want to give you a shout?
They'll get me on my mobile, which is 087-285-5011.
And The Green Room. We'll be back next week with Yvonne O'Connor.
The Green Room with Johnstown Garden Centre, home of expert garden advice. JohnstownGardenCentre.ie. Technological advance.